from the birthplace of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Wait, who?
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
Huh? The big dog, Kevin McCullough.
Who? Kevin McCullough.
No, who?
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Who? Kevin McCullough?
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
What?
A Barack Obama's Dismantling Hope and Change and CEO of Extreme Media.
Oh.
Well, we have got a great show for you tonight, and it is just peeking at the big board. Look at that. Lauren Daigle, Dana Perino. It's going to be an enormous second hour in the Ladies' Lounge, but we've got an important first hour as well. Welcome to Saturday. Kevin McCullough, couldn't be happier than to have you on our sixth night each week of Radio Night Live. Now, Monday through Friday, I do a local version for AM 970 The Answer here in New York, but on Saturday, we go coast to coast, nationwide. And we open up the phones, 888-340-3373. Hit extension 1 when you call that number, 888-340-3373. You can join the conversation. We've got so much to get to. Let's go to the big board right away, good man, Ivan. Tonight we are going to have... an enormous show, but he is one of the elite fantasy baseball provocateurs in America. He does a show on Sirius XM. He's also been with ESPN. He breaks down what you need to look for in fantasy baseball. And now that we're starting to come out of lockdown, you're starting to see more of actual sports being played. Fantasy baseball is making a comeback. He's going to talk to us about what it is. Right there in the back of the crowd there is Edward Palmieri, and he's going to talk to us about how Facebook is using its platform to do good. You know, I've had my own issues beefing with big tech this year, still do, but we're going to have some interesting insight from Edward on that. And then Dr. Douglas Howard is going to round out the first hour. He's got some nutritional help for us. Did you know that in Europe, the doctors there, when they undergo medical training, they only take 2 hours of their whole education to deal with nutrition? I got to ask him about that on tonight's show. That back to the big board. Hour number two, Dana Perino, as I made mention, Fox News anchor. You see her on The Five. You see her on America's Newsroom. She is going to be with us. She's got a brand new book called Everything Will Be Okay. And that film is out. The theme song of there is Hold On To Me, and that is Lauren Daigle's new song. She will have that for us tonight. We've got such a big show. I can't even wait to get to all of the insights of it. And we've got some great sponsors. As you know, I have been talking about the Byrna HD, this little gadget right here, for the last number of weeks. The Byrna HD has, within the last couple of weeks, become enormously popular. And the reason that it has become enormously popular is because of the good job that it does in keeping people safe. The Byrna HD is about the size of your average 9mm handgun. It is not considered, it is not legally a gun because it does not have gunpowder, nor does it project metal projectiles. What it shoots are 68 caliber pepper and irritant rounds to help keep you safe in the event that someone's coming at you up to 60 feet away. You are able to point this thing at them, hit them from 60 feet away, and immediately that pepper ball hits their chest. They cannot get up and continue their attack against you because they are crying for the next 15 minutes like babies. He could be the biggest, baddest dude that lived in the hood ever, whatever, whatever. Boom, you hit him with that, and he's all of a sudden just teared up and just grotesquely like a little girl just, you know, over weeping over her broken tea set. This is what that attacker turns into for 15 minutes, gives you time to get away in the event of a dangerous situation. And tonight, when you go to myburna.com/KMC, you're going to get the best price on this. But this whole, and a couple of a couple of magazines full of the irritants, some plastic projectiles that you can use to practice with, and some other things. You get the whole kit for less than it costs to buy the cheapest handgun on the market. This is a really incredible value. I talked about it on social media this week, Instagram. Had so many people write me and say, Kevin, thank you for letting me know about this. This is legal in all 50 states. It is the perfect size to conceal carry, to put in a purse, in a backpack, in your suit pocket, in your concealed carry, underarm, everywhere that you would want to have protection with you, you can now have that with the Byrna. Byrna.com/KMC when you go to get the best price. If you just go to Byrna.com, you're not going to get the best price. You go to Byrna.com/KMC, they're going to guarantee you the best price tonight. So thanks to Byrna for being such a good sponsor and client. And then I got to tell you about one other thing that's kind of cool. Mike Lindell, out of the blue, sent me this week. My slippers. I didn't think that MyPillow could do anything better than what they had done with the MyPillow. They completely remade the pillow. I've told you about that forever. But the new slippers that they have out have the same foam technology in the slipper that is in the pillow, not to mention this cushiony, velvety, lovely, furry inside of the slipper. And when you get these things on your feet, you never want to take them off. In fact, I have to admit, I'm even wearing them at the studio tonight. Let's see if I can see right there, my slippers. How cool is that? I can't get rid of them. They are so incredible. 888-340 I will remember the number in a bit. But go to MyPillow.com. Just use promo code KMC on checkout. Get the My Slippers. You're gonna get the best price. And thank you, Mike Lindell, for doing that. So we've got that going on tonight as well. And then on top of the rest of it, we've got an incredible show. But I want to take just a second here to address something that's very, very important. All week long, I have been social media and on my daily radio show hitting this issue of what we are doing with the young men in our society. As you know, a couple of young African-American men died this week from gunshots that were leveled by police officers. Neither one of them had to die this week. Neither one of them should have died this week. But the fact that the media and the kind of woke mob are blaming the police officers for these deaths seems to me to be very displaced. Because in Dante Wright and in Adam Toledo's cases, in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, and in the Chicago area with Mr. Toledo, both of these young men were told very specific instructions that they ignored, that they felt like they didn't have to obey. Lawful instructions given by lawful authority. And it has really hit home with me as the father of three sons, one of whom is black, two of whom are white, that I want to be very clear in the instructions that I give to my kids going forward. These boys died because they didn't know how to respect lawful authority in their lives. And that was very true in Dante Wright's case. He had 15 reasons why he was in the position last Sunday when he lost his life. He didn't respect the law as it came to tags on his car, crimes he's committed, laws he had broken previously, arrests that he was wanted for but had never been arrested for. He didn't respect the law in any way. And so this dog and pony show that his mom and dad did for the press, oh, he's just a sweet kid. No, he's not a sweet kid. He was a criminal that was wanted. And he didn't cooperate with the cops that pulled him over for the expired tags. And when they ran his plates, they realized the crimes he was wanted for, and they attempted to arrest him. He resisted that arrest. Friends, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear this. Obey the officer's instructions. As long as they are legal instructions, you will always come out better than if you don't. That's what Adam Toledo's situation in Chicago, too. He was running. The officer told him to stop. told him to put the gun down. He did not until it was too late, and he lost his life as well. This doesn't have to happen. These shouldn't be happening. But it is not going to be the solution if we defund and get rid of the police coast to coast, nationwide. That's just not going to help anything. We need lawful authority to help keep us on the right track. These boys do too. And my challenge is to fathers of sons. Teach your sons to respect lawful authority. Teach them to use authority carefully when they become authority, but teach them to respect lawful authority when they are young. It may just save their lives.
Every problem.
1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
Of all the boys, of all the boys, boys, of all the boys, 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 of all the boys, of all the boys.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, every day we talk about the stuff that's on the front page, but every now and then I like to set that down and take a look at some of the other things that are happening in the world around us. We talk about breaking news, what it means, why it matters. But, you know, we are on the cusp of another baseball season. And, of course, here in New York, it doesn't get any bigger than when the Pinstripes take the field, whichever one is your poison. And there's a lot of questions about whether or not this year is going to be any better than it has been last year. And that's even spilling over into fantasy sports. Jeff Manns is of the SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. He's the host there. And he's also the chief content officer and Major League Baseball analyst for Elite Sports Betting. Jeff, thanks for joining me today. How do you see this summer breaking down in terms of whether or not Major League Baseball is going to have a welcoming feel to the stands, to the fans, to the people watching on TV? What are we going to experience this year?
My answer, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate being here. My answer changes almost every day. I'm pretty optimistic right now as we sit here. And in late March, it's looking good. They're going to have fans in most of the 30 Major League Baseball stadiums, about 20 to 30% occupancy, to 50% occupancy, depending on what state and what city you're in. So I feel the Major League Baseball had an opportunity to make a shorter season. 128 games was rumored, 140 games was rumored. They're going for a full 162 games with contact tracing and testing every single day as well. So they're confident, and we're so close to the start of the season. I'm pretty darn confident myself.
That's got to feel good. What happened to the fantasy game last year when everything got truncated and people were all discombobulated? How did that affect how people viewed fantasy sports, specifically the baseball season?
It was surprising because we had no idea what to expect, obviously. You know, I've been playing for 30 years. I've been doing it professionally for 16 years now. But we saw a big boom. When sports were shut down, scary as heck. When sports restarted and baseball started in July of last year, we saw a lot of people that were curious, a lot of people that were signing up to play and building leagues, much to our, you know, we were surprised.
Do you think it was just the angst of not being able to get tickets and go to the game, and this was just another way of engaging?
I think it had a mixture of that and what do we do? Like we, you know, how are people allocating their time? They weren't traveling. They weren't going to bars and restaurants. You know, we're all kind of stuck indoors for so long. So they found solace online and, you know, being able to track and watch games on TV, follow along, make your roster moves, make your trades, win some money, you know, in the process, which is another commodity that was hard to get in 2020. I think all of that kind of really built up the fantasy baseball industry last year.
Well, obviously, fantasy sports has kind of revived the idea of sports betting, and Elite Sports Betting is one of those places where people can go and have an experience in doing that. Talk to me about how broad the participation is in this wagering on sports kind of globally. What does it look like now as compared to where it started?
It's crazy. 25 states come from laws that are being voted on, you know, every single day that are going to be put on, you know, bills that are going to be voted on here soon, too. So it's definitely an exciting time, and it's a way of sports fandom to grow and sort of change with the times, an ability to make some money here you know, based on either your fandom, research that you do, advice that you seek out and get. It's definitely an exciting time to be a sports fan. It's an exciting time to be a sports veteran.
So talk to somebody that's never done it before. What's the best way to engage this kind of side of their brain? Maybe they've just always been fans of the sports themselves, but they're thinking about maybe putting a dollar or two down on something this year. How would you advise someone to go about beginning their experience with sports, fantasy sports?
Well, obviously, I'd probably recommend going to elitesportsbetting.com, and then if you use the promo code SPRING, we could set up a completely customized plan for you, whether you're looking to bet a dollar a day or a dollar a week or a month, or if you're sort of the high-stakes variety as well. And we can customize you. We had over 80% winning percentage back. In fact, that starting pitchers aren't going deep into ball games. You bet the under on the strikeout totals almost for every single game, and you're going to be pretty darn profitable doing so. That's a pretty easy way to get started. And again, bet only within your means. Never bet above your bankroll.
Is it better to play in a sports league, a fantasy sports league of people that you know, or is it safer to do it through a commercial entity where you may not know anybody else that you're participating with?
I mean, it's always great to
because everybody's got the office pools, right? I mean, that's always kind of the attraction of it, at least for like March Madness. Everybody's like, well, who wants? Bragging rights for the office.
You're interested in you once you dominate people and you start winning these leagues and these competitions that you're doing on the regular, it's probably time to step up and make some real money doing so, because if you have a good track record in your home leagues, chances are you're going to be able to become profitable playing fantasy sports.
All right. Well, if you've got any questions about it, you can get those answered at elitesportsbetting.com. Of course, if you've got a gambling problem, we don't want to encourage you to do anything that is unhealthy for you, so make sure you get help for that. But Jeff Manns, front man for the SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio broadcast every day, 4 to 6 Eastern. Check him out there. And Jeff, I guess I should say good winnings to you this summer, and we'll talk to you later.
Hope springs eternal, Kevin. Appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, you got it. Well, and again, I don't participate in sports betting. I'm not really a sports wagerer. But I have played some of those fantasy leagues where you don't have to put any money up. And it is interesting to see what he was saying there about if you do end up winning in the office. Because when you do, there's bragging rights for a full year. So, it's not my cup of tea, but if you have interest, hopefully that was helpful. Anyway, it's interesting what can be done for the good. By the way, our effort to help free slaves in Sudan, we've got a big update for you tonight coming up in a couple of segments from now. Kevin McCullough, so glad to have you with us and thankful for all of the great sponsors that help.
No time to read.
Set up to manage the out-of-control mind. Call Landmark today, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575, or visit Landmark. All right, night, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us on a very busy Saturday night. And one of the things that we've done here is try to do a lot of good with our anti-slavery campaign, and we're going to get an update on that in just a bit. But an organization that may be surprising to you that is actually trying to do some good in the world around us is the social media company called Facebook. And Edward Palmieri is joining us. And Edward, I'd start with a simple question. What is it about doing good that Facebook is so interested in?
Yeah, so thank you. So my team works on sustainability, as you mentioned, and our charter is to help make sure that Facebook is running our business operations in a way that is sustainable and environmentally and environmentally a good steward for the world and the way that we impact the world around us when we're bringing our services to bear. And so what we've been working on over the last decade is to green our operations so that we're not sacrificing any of the resources or natural beauty of the world of tomorrow to offer our services today.
Well, and I know that that is increasingly something that motivates the average consumer as well. I know that and you don't have to be a full scale, you know, embracer of the political rhetoric about climate change to be someone that maybe wants to conserve and recycle a little more and to make the world a little bit of a more beautiful place. Teddy Roosevelt, who probably wouldn't be associated with most of the people pushing climate change today, was definitely somebody who loved the environment and loved the earth. Expanded the national park program in ways that nobody had before him. And I know a lot of people on both the left and the right that say, you know, what can we do to make this world a more beautiful and a more better place? So what is Facebook doing along those lines?
Yeah, so thank you. Those great points. You know, first and foremost, you know, we launched our Climate Science Information Center last September. And you can find it by going to Facebook and searching for the word climate, and it'll pop up there. And we've put content in there from the most reputable, globally recognized scientific authoritative sources from around the world, so people can learn more and interpret the world around them. But over time, we've got more information to understand how we can further have a positive impact. In fact, just recently, we partnered with Yale University to run a survey on Facebook in over 30 countries to better understand people's perspectives towards climate change. And, you know, more than 75% of people believe that climate change is happening. And more than 6 in 10 said they really want and need more information around climate change. So this is where we think Facebook can really help by providing the authoritative information that I mentioned and also bring people easier ways to access groups that they can join in their local community, learn from news sources, and as you mentioned, like fundraising. Fundraising is a really powerful tool on Facebook. 100% of the donations that you raise for your charity and nonprofit on the platform go directly to that nonprofit. And to date, more than 3.5 million people have donated over $130 million through Facebook and Instagram fundraisers that are going to directly combat climate change.
Well, and I've actually utilized the fundraising element to liberate slaves in northern Sudan for the past few years. In fact, just through the Facebook effort alone, I think we've liberated more than 200 human beings that were being held in what we essentially would classify as chattel slavery, labor slavery, not necessarily human trafficking. But it just shows the power that technology can play in trying to, you know, better the world around us. And again, you don't have to agree with everything on every level, but if you're dedicated and your mindset is, I want to make a difference, Facebook's tools in that regard certainly have provided a way to help people be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely right. And you mentioned national parks earlier. And one thing I thought of immediately when you mentioned it was that, you know, right now, especially, people aren't able to travel and experience the natural beauty of parks around the world, different sites in the U.S. and beyond. And so one thing we've been working on is to try to inspire people to connect with the environment and become a good steward by understanding some of these beautiful places. So maybe you can't visit Arcadia or Rocky Mountain National Park this year. But you can visit some of these things on Facebook Messenger or Portal and experience some of them virtually to help you kind of appreciate some of those beauties.
Well, that sure makes a lot of sense. And Edward Palmieri, we appreciate what you're doing. And I do appreciate the fact that Facebook has helped us liberate over 1,000 slaves in the last 4 years in northern Sudan. South Sudanese women that were taken captive during the Sudanese Civil War. And little by little, every year, we've helped a little more than 200 of them find their way back home safely and start new lives. We're still
spring is precious metals. So when the bail-in happens, they can't touch your precious metals, and you have peace of mind. Call Landmark today, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575, or visit Landmark.
All right, Radio Night Live on a Saturday. Thank you for being with us. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. You know that I talk regularly with Saturday. I've got to admit that I was a little bit blown away this week when I saw this story about nutrition and how it's training. If particularly for UK medical professionals, only 2 hours are required in their entire multiple year years in medical school and able to cover nutrition. Am I wrong?
Well, let's not take it to Europe alone. I cannot pin it on there. Let me tell you, that's just the one you've read.
Yeah.
I've been to multiple medical schools, and I talk to them, and we work with them. And we're actually working with medical schools right now, both osteopathic and medical, and we're going in and talking about this very thing and about the triad of health even. Believe me, I'm getting to talk in medical schools finally about the triad of health and how this all comes together. But this is not unusual. 2 hours of study, hey, you know what? That might be more than most schools get.
Really?
And it is crazy because diseases, most of them are lifestyle diseases. We forget that. Weakened immune systems are mostly lifestyle diseases. So if you're getting frequent flus and colds, and what is a lifestyle disease? Ask yourself, what is a lifestyle disease? Not only define them, but which ones would they be? Any disease can be a lifestyle disease. And that simply means changing your lifestyle can change your risk of that disease, illness, anything there. I'll give you one that I when I first started working into geriatrics and working with senior patients more and more, I realized, can you guess what the symptoms for scurvy are? You know, when was the last time you thought people had scurvy? What do you think of when I say
I don't know. I think of like pirate ships and you know, people that are stuck on long time ocean voyages. And wasn't that
matey.
Wasn't that also, by the way, there's something about some sort of fruit that they would serve on
oranges. Oranges. Yeah. And they also started eating the potato peels. People don't know that. The potato peelings had enough chemistry in them, naturally occurring nutrition chemistry in them to even make a difference. But,
oh, wow.
But you're right. That's why they start limes. They started carrying limes. And, you know, so limes was their big thing to carry on ships to stop the scurvy. They figured that back in the 1400s. And we can't figure it out today. But so here's the key with this scurvy. The symptoms for scurvy are easily bruising.
Okay.
Loose teeth, bleeding gums, connective tissue breakdown. Can you think of any major population or demographic that we have in the United States that when they bump into things, they bruise easily, or their skin starts to peel back, or their hair starts to fall out? That's another scurvy symptom.
Yeah.
But hair falling out, weak skin, bruising easily, loose teeth. What demographic in our society really struggles? Well,
I would say elderly is what comes to mind.
Yes, and it's caused by malnutrition more than anything else, not aging.
Oh, wow.
And you don't have to have that when you're aging. There's ways to stop that and change that. And that's what's so important, that doctors need to get this instruction so we can talk to our patients again. We don't talk to our patients anymore. We just see them, we look at them, we get a symptom, and we write a prescription for it. Not we. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
But that's a problem in our society. And we need to talk more. We need to find out what their diets are, what their stress levels are, what their social environment is. Did they recently experience a death in their family? Did they recently experience separation or divorce or loss of job? Those all have to do with your nutrition too and lifestyle diseases. And so it does make me saddened when I hear that what little bit of nutrition we ever got in medical schools is decreasing and not increasing. Because how can a doctor who hopefully is still taking the oath from Hippocrates and saying that they're a wealth of knowledge for your community, how can you be a wealth of knowledge and a trusted person in your health if you're not studying what brings true health?
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why we reported on a couple of trends in American medical schools last year. They very much verified everything you were saying, but they're in the American medical school arena, it seemed as though the emphasis has been on increasing the amount of nutritional education. And this story today saying more than half of those in the UK are failing to meet the minimum number of nutrition learning objectives. And they've identified
2 hours. The minimum, they're getting 2 hours of nutrition training. Okay. And I need to express that. Go ahead.
Yeah. But they're saying that fails the basic minimum of what these doctors are going to need. And I got to guess, Dr. Howard, that with COVID and other viruses that are going to be coming, because you know there's another one that's going to be down the pike at some point. That we've got to be doing more from a nutritional standpoint so that we're just not, you know, inundated with this stuff. Like our immune system is our first line of defense and our best line of defense.
Absolutely. It is nature, God, I don't care who you want to call it. I'll call it God was smart enough to make that all work. If we just keep it running right.
Yeah.
And we can't just think nutrition. I'll be honest, we can't. We have to think our physical health, our chemical health, and our spiritual, mental, emotional, it's all one health.
Well, on the chemical side, friends, I have never been more confident in a product that I've ever used. I've never seen more direct benefit to my own life than I have with the Balance of Nature fruits and veggies. I take about 9 a day right now, and I've seen a tremendous increase in my energy, 5% off. Get your free preferred shipping on your first preferred order when you call.
Paperback and Kindle form. Get your copy today. Magnificent Ian and the Secret Lab.
Beautiful shot. A special hour two on the way. Dana Perino, the daily host of 2 shows on the Fox News Channel, America's Newsroom with Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino in the morning. And then she's also usually on The 5 at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. But she was, of course, George W. Bush's press secretary. I believe she was the press secretary that rounded out the administration for the Bush presidency. And she is a brand new author. Well, she's written other books, but this is her latest. And it's all about something non-political. It's called Everything Will Be Okay. And it is actually focused on
how to help mentor the next generation and to give some advice to young women that are following in her footsteps or maybe hope to. So we're going to see what she has to say along those regards in the next hour and look forward to that conversation with her. We've also got a very special musical guest tonight. New music from Lauren Daigle from the movie that features George Lopez that we just spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And it's a phenomenal song. And I think Walking With Herb, of course, the name of the movie, the name of the song is... my brain, hold on to me. That's right. My brain's going blank tonight for some reason. Not enough coffee or something before the show. Anyway, that's straight ahead. Hey, I wanted to give you an update. We had a very encouraging week when it came to our slave liberation project. And last week, we had crossed the 56 slave threshold in terms of slaves that of the 192 that we were hoping to free before the end of the year. And I am excited to tell you that we've added another six to that. So as of this moment, 62 women have been told and have been assured of their liberation and will be returning home to South Sudan to start their lives anew. Again, the $250 gift that it, is required to do that helps not only liberate the slave, but more importantly, provides the bag of hope for what they take back to their to where they live in South Sudan, and it includes immediate needs like a year's worth of grain for them to be able to feed themselves, but it also includes things for their future like a year's worth of seed to be able to plant a crop for the following year, along with utensils, living needs like a tarp for protection from the weather, blankets and other things for them to use in their living facility, and then they get a she-goat. This is the really exciting thing. Every liberated slave is given a she-goat that she can use to develop milk, cheese, other types of food products, of course. And then there's also the possibility for a micro-enterprise for her to be independently self-supportive from a financial standpoint. And you supply all of that with a one-time gift of $250, and we have 192 names that...
of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
What?
How Barack Obama's Dismantling Hope and Change and CEO of Extreme Media.
All right, it's hour number two. It's Kevin McCullough. Radio Night Live is underway. And, of course, in the second hour every Saturday night, we open up the Ladies Lounge, where we have the minds and the words of brilliant women across the board joining us. And to that extent, next week, and I think we've got the preview for the audience watching at home here. For next week, we've got or in the near future, I don't know if it's next week or not, but we've got a pretty stunning lineup. Adrian Arsht, philanthropist, and Mercy Me is the musical guest, are going to be joining us. Adrian is a really, really cool story. Her father was someone who came, and as he was more profitable in his life, he felt really bad for people that were unpaid interns. And he would drive he would actually hitchhike from Philadelphia back to Delaware each weekend to teach Hebrew school. But he was very concerned about the interns that he saw. And as he became wealthier over time, he wanted to give back. And now his daughter gives millions of dollars to internships, specifically in the performing arts at some of the larger performing arts centers, like the Lincoln Center, the Met, other places where these things take place. And now there are a wide variety of young people that have paid internships because of the generosity of the Arsht family. So I'm looking forward to getting to talk to her and have her on the show in the very near future. And Mercy Me has a new song out that is really, really inspiring. So I look forward to having them with us coming up as well. Let's go back to the big board. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go back and get it, of course. Our Dana Perino, someone, full disclosure, she has me on her show from time to time, and I always enjoy speaking with her. She was, I always thought she did a stellar job for the Bush administration as press secretary. And she's said very nice things about the women that worked for the Trump administration in their role as press secretary, both Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kelly McEnany, amongst others. But she's got a brand new book out. And it's titled Every Women to Use as Resources and to Pick Their Brains. And she's offering herself in that way for those that are coming in her footsteps. And then before we're done, new music tonight from Lauren Daigle from the movie Walking with Herb, which is the very interesting story and movie that George Lopez is in. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and looking forward to his being with us as well. Having Lauren with us, because this song that is from that movie is actually now a hit tune for her. So we're looking forward to that. I want to... go back to the big story that's now going on. We had two young black men that died, one in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, one in the city of Chicago. Neither one of them needed to die. Neither one of them should have died. Both of them made a series of choices that put themselves in harm's way and eventually led to their death. Now, yes, there were police officers that pulled the triggers on both guns that killed those people. But if you look at the sequence of events as they played out, whether it's Adam Toledo in Chicago or whether it's Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, if you look at either sequence of events, you see a number of things that those young boys did that hastened their own death. Most importantly, they did not respect the lawful authority that gave them simple instructions. Instructions like stop, drop the weapon, don't resist arrest. None of these instructions would have led to the ultimate outcome of them dying. But not following those instructions, which are lawful, did end up leading to their death. One, tragically, if it's to be believed, by mistake of the female officer in Brooklyn Center, she pulled her gun instead of her taser. She's now been charged with second-degree manslaughter. If she did anything that could have prevented the actions, they will investigate and she will stand trial for it. I don't know what's going to become of the officer in the Chicago shooting because, to be candid, the young man involved in this, and everybody's making a big deal that he was 13. He was 13 who had just been involved in a shooting incident. He had a gun. They found the gun 2 feet from where they dropped him. He did not put it down. He did not stop running when he was told. There were a number of things that he did not do. Yes, it's tragic that a 13-year-old lost his life. He's also like 6'2". It's a huge 13-year-old. And when you're chasing someone at night in a darkly lit alley, and they were involved in a shooting, and you're trying to stop the shooting because someone called and said there was a shooting going on, African-American woman from that neighborhood said, hey, there's shots fired out here, and the police went to go check it out, and they found the two guys, and they stopped the first guy easy, but the second guy took off running, and that was the guy that ended up getting shot. I want to go to something, though, that needs to be reinforced when we see at least what's happened this week, because there's a willingness by some in the very woke communities of America to try to rewrite what should happen here. And the answer thus far from the woke side of America has been to defund or get rid of the police. That's immediately what Rashida Tlaib called for. That's immediately what AOC called for. It's what my cousin on Instagram called for, and other people that fancy themselves as being super, super woke activists about the deaths of young people at police hands, which, by the way, are at all-time low numbers. We have fewer people dying from police force than any time in history in the last 20 years. And that's good. We don't want that to happen. If you look at the statistics from last year, I believe you have fewer out of 300 million citizens, 800,000 police officers, thousands of police unions and departments and everything else. I think you have in total less than 50 people who were killed by police officers total out of that number. And I think out of that number, you have less than a dozen who were African American that were killed by police. That's these departments are getting better at it. We still want to be even better at it. But I want to address something else. Because the woke people, the Tlaibs, the AOCs, the people that are saying, let's get rid of the police departments, they have done that in Chicago, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Detroit, in many of these cities. They have reduced the size of the police department. And that's why you've actually seen a correlating crime spike in some of their neighborhoods. When I go and speak with community leaders of every color and stripe, they don't tell me we want fewer police in our neighborhood. They actually tell me the opposite. They say, we want more police in our community. We want community policing. We want people that are interacting with the police officer, and we want him interacting with us. We want to know them so that they know us, and so that when there is a problem, there's greater cooperation. See, the politicians are calling for exactly the opposite solution of what they need. They need to empower the police to do the job. And if they do, far fewer crimes will end up being committed or even encouraged, and that would lead to even fewer deaths of young black men. This is good for neighborhoods everywhere. And we need $99 each. Never seen this offer. Called the show just to us. Here's the phone number. 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC. Again, 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC. Or online at MyPillow.com.
What a little moonlight can do. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do to you.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you know, what I love to do most days is take the front page, top line stories and kind of give you the nuts and bolts of what it means and why it matters. And we hammer through the news of the day, trying to help you make sense of it, given that you have a very limited amount of time and you need to consume that on a proper basis. But every now and then I have a chance with the newsmakers to go a little bit deeper and a little bit wider on some of the stories and issues affecting us today. And sometimes we even get to talk about really big ideas that like overarch different areas of life. And I'm so pleased with my next guest's approach to her most recent book, because that's exactly what it does. Dana Perino, And yes, full disclosure, I've appeared on Dana's shows multiple times over the years, but I'm glad to have her on today. Everything will be okay. Life lessons for young women from a former young woman. And I would just make this case, Dana, trying to be as politically incorrect as possible in a day and age where you're not allowed to do that anymore. You are not a former young woman. You still have the look and appearance of a very youthful person. And it's just it's really kind of irritating because I know a little bit about how long you've been around on the public scene and you don't look a day older. I do. In fact, I've lost all my hair since I interviewed you the first time. So it's kind of interesting how life changes. But why this book and why right now?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I have always enjoyed having a chance to talk with you. Just such a generous person and very wise and a cheerful one. And so those are the kind of people I like to be around. So I wrote the book because I have a passion for mentoring and I feel an obligation to give back to the younger generation. And while, of course, I know many people would say you're still young, you know, I'm in my late 40s and I've had some career success so far. I get a lot of questions from young women and men, but generally more young women come to me seeking advice. And what I noticed, Kevin, is that the quarter-life crisis that a lot of women go through, which is basically when you realize at the age of 25 that nothing is turning out the way that you had it all planned,
yeah.
And that maybe you have to take some stock of what your situation is. Now, most people get through that, but what I've seen in the last few years is that that quarter-life crisis is following young women into their 30s and beyond.
Mm.
And I was concerned about that because I don't want people to live in a way that where they don't get to experience all of life's joys that I believe God intended for us.
Yeah.
So I lay out in here some great practical tips for improving your day-to-day work life and working on getting a promotion or a raise. Life balance and serenity. So I put everything in one book.
which you could probably do volumes on each of those subjects alone, particularly
you
when you're someone like yourself who has changed careers multiple times. The fact that you are still just, you know, in your 40s and yet you've done such high profile things, both in government, now in media, and kind of, you know, had this kind of split life where you kind of restarted, reinvented, redid the do-over. And I'm sure that for women in particular, and I don't mean this to sound sexist, I truly don't. You know, my bride was one of those that woke up at 25 and said she'd kind of planned to be at this place and this place and this place in life. None of it had kind of happened
right.
That way.
It's so true.
But then what she ended up being able to do and what she has become in terms of blossoming as a mom and someone who really is like the CEO of the household. She runs everything and it's a tight ship. But she's blossomed in ways she didn't think she would. And I'm curious if that's what a lot of young women ask you about. It's not going down the path I thought, but maybe I'm finding fulfillment in ways that I didn't anticipate.
It's very interesting how many people seem to think that successful people had it all planned out. And and actually, if you read any autobiographies or even biographies of people that you admire, you'll find out that actually all along the way they were headed in one direction and ended up in another.
Yeah.
Now, I always say to people, if you want to become White House press secretary, you have to start out as a country music overnight DJ, because then you will definitely be on the same path. And one of the great things about the book, and part of the reason I titled it Everything Will Be Okay, is that when I look back on every career advancement that I've had, it was not something I planned.
Hmm.
And sometimes they were inconvenient times, right? Or uncomfortable times, or moving to another city times. And all of those things I remember initially, you know, sort of resisting. In fact, when I got called to come up to do the five and to move to New York, my first comment to my husband was, oh my gosh, New York is terrible in the summer, in the middle of the heat and everything. And he said, congratulations. This is what you always wanted to do your entire life. And so another piece of advice that I have in the book is that choosing to be loved is not a career-limiting decision.
Good for you. I love
and
that.
But I learned that because, you know, I did think about putting off moving to England to be with my husband now of 23 years. But I did consider putting it off because I thought my career would be hampered. And a family friend pulled me aside at a Christmas event, and she said, don't give up on this chance to be loved. And I remember being just so worried about my career. And yeah. I couldn't have done any of this without him.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I so appreciate that candidness, which people got from you all the way from the press office to the Fox News channel, and it's one of the reasons why I think you're so endearing to the audience is because they feel like they have a sense of really who you are. But when you're talking about that kind of bigger principle there, it strikes me that people play a huge role in this. And I would guess that you would say, going back from your days as, W's press secretary and even how his role in your life played a certain degree of importance and others that you've had along the way, you're mentoring now because you've had great mentors and people that poured into you and built into you. And talk to me about the organic part of that process for you.
Well, so it was sort of natural. When I first left the White House, there was a lot of people asking, could I have 10 minutes? Can I go to coffee? Can we go to lunch? Can I get some advice? Or would you mind talking to my daughter, my granddaughter, my niece, my cousin, whoever it might be?
Sure.
And I would try to do all of that because I do think that there's the only way that you can help bring the next generation along is to help them get there. And I had watched a little bit of time when people were held back because it would be inconvenient for the manager to promote them. A lot of young women, like when they might start off as somebody's assistant. Well, I have a rule. You can only be an assistant for 2 years, and then you got to go.
Self-imposed, like you would tell them to resign and move on?
Oh, absolutely. You will be kicked out of the next nest at 2 years, and I will tell you, my assistant just looked up from her desk at me.
Did she check her calendar at the same time?
She's already on the countdown clock. She's been with me 6 months, and she's already worried about it.
Oh, no.
But the reason is that they're so talented and they have a lot of ambition and they have opportunities that they might not realize. But sometimes you will have managers who think, well, it would just be inconvenient for me to train somebody new. Like, I actually think you should be measured on whether you can promote your people.
Well, that's an interesting observation. And when we come back, I want to follow up on that. Dana Perino. Dana's our very special guest in the Ladies Lounge.
Of fruits and veggies, your journey to better day by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Back to the Ladies Lounge we go. Tonight our guest is Dana Perino, Fox News anchor of America's Newsroom, and also the Five. Dana Perino's new book is called Everything Will Be Okay. And Dana, when we were going to the break, we were talking about how you should be ready to promote your people forward. And I know that it's kind of like what you want written on your tombstone at the end of life, like what were you known for? And I think particularly as a boss, that's kind of true too, right?
What I say in the book, who will raise their hand and offer to say something, so often you see people stand up and say, this person changed my life, but they won't even know that it happened.
Right.
They wouldn't even know that, like, oh, really? Like, when I sent you on that one sales trip, that actually changed your life? And I always think about that. Like, what do I want people to say about me when I finish my working career?
Do you share some of what you want that to be in the book?
Well, I actually have been kind of gratified, Kevin, through this book tour, because I will give you an example. Trey Gowdy, former congressman who is now a Fox News contributor, he was anchoring a 7 p.m. show 2 weeks ago, and he invited me on the program, and he was going to talk about the book and also news of the day, which I'm happy to do always. But he started by showing the pictures of these two young women, and he said, these two young women were my communications directors when I was congressman.
Huh.
And both of them had been mentored without anybody prompting them by Dana Perino because she heard that they were fans of hers. And he was talking about how I remember talking to them, of course, and staying in touch with them, but I didn't know how much an effect it had on those young women, but also on him as a boss. And that he remembered that, and he wanted everyone to know. And so in my book, yes, I talk a lot about, I don't call it necessarily karma, but that doing the right thing will come back around to help you later on. And also Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show, when she interviewed me at the end, she said, I'll never forget when you were the only one who reached out to me when I started at the White House, and you wanted to find out about me as a person rather than just what I was going to cover as a reporter. And I was just grateful for that because I thought, oh, so just living your life in a way where you're doing the right thing can make a difference.
Yeah.
Well, none of those things that I did were a lot of effort.
No, but, I go back to the people principle. It's people are the secret sauce, right? So how you treat and motivate and inspire and relate to them generally doesn't just have an impact on them, but it comes back on you as well in both
Definitely.
Positive and negative ways. And I think that there's good examples of that across the board. The book is called Everything Will Be Okay, Life Lessons for Young Women from a Former Young Woman. I think she should scratch that part of the subtitle. That's just my own opinion.
Jesse Waters thinks that I put that in there so that everybody will compliment me.
Tell Jesse to go pound sand. Dana, let me ask you this. Is there anything in here? Because this is really, I think, one of the most important things that you can personally give insight to. I mean, you worked in the press office when there was a war on. You worked for a somewhat controversial president. You worked at the Fox News Channel. You've gone through all the ups and downs of your career. So I'm expecting that there will be a significant portion of this book that deals with the issue of what secret dogs bring to success.
There's a little bit, yes. Yeah. So I love dogs. I grew up on a ranch, and so dogs were not just an important part of our family life, but also, they helped us on the ranch. And then as an adult, Peter and I have had two Vizslas. One was named Henry. He was during the White House years, and then Jasper's been during the Fox years. I find one thing with dogs is that it really does help connect you to people without talking about politics.
Yep.
I have a rule, no politics at the dog park. And I actually don't really love to talk about politics outside of work.
I don't either. And
it's just too much.
The advantage you have, the disadvantage you have is being on TV, because I can go to all kinds of parties, and because I'm not on television, if I don't give my last name when being introduced, there's never a question. But then when the question does come up, so what do you do for a living? Well, do you really want to talk about this or not? Because I'm not really that interesting from there forward. But you don't have that advantage. They know who you are because of what they see. But I'm glad that you have that. Mark Levin and I had a long conversation about what the dogs meant to his life and to his family. And of course, I'm sure you've read his
book. Gorgeous. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that you're doing a great work, and Dana Perino is giving back, if you will, kind of from her dearth of knowledge and experience. And the book is called Everything Will Be Okay. Dana, thank you for spending time with us tonight. We always love having you in the Ladies Lounge, and keep up the great work. Kevin McCullough, the phone lines are now open, 888-3403.
If you're serious about taking
veggies, start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us, and we're just a few minutes away from our musical guest tonight. Lauren Daigle will round out the show with her new single, and looking forward to that. It is from the movie Walking with Herb, George Lopez, one of the stars in there. Also, Mr. Olmos is in that as well, and a couple of others and it looks wonderful. And I don't know if... Like, I know theaters are getting their feet back into the game. It seems like we are still quite a ways away from being able to, be back in the theaters full blown. But, they had, I think it was like a $20 or $30 million weekend a couple of weekends ago, which was like,
you know, 500% more than where we were a year ago at this same time. So all that being said, by the way, you got any comments on tonight's show, the stories that we've talked about, 888-340-3373. Some headlines from the news. Minnesota is updating tonight police guidance on reporters covering violent riots on the front line. You know, they're expecting the verdict to come down for Derek Chauvin as early as possibly Monday. The jury is going to get the case on Monday because the defense rested on Friday. And you're going to probably have some reaction. Sadly, I don't understand why. If he's convicted of, you know, wrongful actions in the death of George Floyd, that's justice, right? If he's convicted of that, if that's what happened, if that's what the jury of 12 people sat and listened to evidence and they came up with, and I'm pretty sure that they had a very diverse jury, that's justice, right? I don't understand why we have to automatically assume we're going to have destruction and death follow the announcement of the verdict, but they're preparing for it in Minnesota. And, you know, when people like Chris Cuomo say what he said today, it doesn't help things. The CNN anchor is on record as saying that white kids need to die for the sake of police reform. So that we're not going to actually create reform. This is what he's implying, that reforms won't actually be implemented until white kids start dying, which just kind of proves that CNN's Chris Cuomo is kind of an utter idiot. The NYPD, more than 30 years ago, in face of the very violent riots in the 1970s, began implementing police reforms that held through to today. And last year, when the Democrats were telling BLM members to go around the country and burn the country down, New York City paid a price for that. We had a lot of damage done in our city. But we didn't do any of the stuff. Our police force wasn't the cause of any of the wrongdoing that BLM was upset about. The people were just taking their anger out on New York City. And this is part of the problem. We have media like Chris Cuomo who are lying about what the actual circumstance is. The truth is, police departments have undergone massive reforms, not only for the last 30 years in the case of the NYPD, but in the last 12 months. In reaction to the violence we saw a year ago. And when you have people like Chris Cuomo who are willing to say that white kids need to die in order for police reform to be taken seriously, you're just throwing more gas on the same fire. What we need to do is stop telling these untruths to one another. We need to admit the honest truth. We need to reinstitute respect for authority in our lawful authority, not unlawful authority. We shouldn't put up with abuse and wrongful treatment. But even if you're wrongly arrested in America, there are massive numbers of ways to appeal that and to go about it in a way that you're going to be heard. Especially more so now than there were 5, 10, 20, 25, 30 years ago. But you know what doesn't happen if you get wrongfully arrested and you appeal it through the system? You don't end up dying from taking bad actions at the moment where you didn't need to. And in the case of Dante Wright and in the case of Adam Toledo, you had two kids die more or less from their own choices that they never should have made. These men probably lacked manly men in their life that taught them that obeying lawful authority is a good thing. It's always a good thing. If lawful authority says, hey, don't drive too fast on this road, because in driving too fast on that road, you're going to crash like Tiger Woods did when he was doing 90 on a 45 mile per hour exit ramp, bad things are going to happen. This isn't, by the way, this isn't just an inner city violence culture. This is a cultural problem we have across the board. We believe we can drive as fast as we want, do whatever we want, disrespect whoever we want, and that we're never going to suffer any consequence for it. And that's really what killed Dante Wright and Adam Toledo. If Dante Wright had allowed himself to be put under arrest, if he felt he was wrong in the process, he'd have appeals in the process to deal with that, especially now, especially in the aftermath of George Floyd. But what can he do once he disobeys those lawful orders, gets in his car, and tries to drive away? By the way, he's wanted at that moment, at that very moment, he's wanted for a violent gun crime against an innocent woman. The police did the right thing in attempting to arrest him. It was an African-American male who was trying to arrest him, by the way. When he was not able to overcome that, that's when the female officer took what she thought was her taser and started yelling to everybody, "Taser, taser, get back, because you don't want to be touching somebody that's being tased. You'll be filled with the same electricity that they're getting filled with." Tragically, she pulled the wrong weapon. That was a very bad choice for Dante Wright. Took his life. But why was he ever in that situation? Why was Adam Toledo ever running from a cop with a gun? Why was he shooting that gun 5 minutes before this, when the neighbor called the police and said, "There's gunshots out here. We've got to, you need to come deal with this." We've got some massive work to do in our society. And CNN's Chris Cuomo saying that white kids need to die in order for the real soul searching to happen is kind of stupid. Of course, I've not been impressed with Chris Cuomo for quite some
time. No time to read.
Two cream, $34.99 each. Never seen this offer before. He called the show just to tell us what it was. Here's the phone number, 800-506-2641, promo code KMC. Again, 800-506-2641, promo code KMC, or online at MyPillow.com.
All right, Kevin McCullough, so glad to have you with us. Ladies and gentlemen, from the movie Walking with Herb, our musical guest, Lauren Daigle, tonight.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen, when I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. When I'm sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me when I
The movie is Walking with Herb. George Lopez and Edward Olmos is also part of that, and Lauren Daigle part of the soundtrack. And what a beautiful song, a brand new hit for her, and she's just killing it. So grateful to be able to round out tonight's show with that. And we've
come on, we're dealing with Gina.